Shabbat, as we prepare for Shabbos, Parsha Shemini. This week's Parsha has as its most famous event the death of Nadav and Avihu. And as you all know, there are many reasons given for that tragic event. One of the better known reasons that brought the Sanhedrin, that's one day, that Nadav and Avihu were guilty of having spoken improperly about Moshe and Aaron, saying, when will these leaders pass away, and you and I will lead the generation? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to that God replied, let us see who will bury whom. Very difficult to understand this attitude of Nadav and Avihu as if they anticipated the passing of Moshe and Aaron. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu says that they were greater than Moshe and Aaron themselves. It's a great story. However, there's an historical event which might allow us to view the attitude of Nadav and Avihu in a more proper way. But Shmuel Nistaland was the Rav of Yerushalayim for more than half a century. He was zeichet to Arich HaSkamim. He lived into his 90s in a time where such long age was virtually unheard of. And as he passed his 90th birthday, he sent for a leader to take his place. He sent for a man known as the Aderes, Rav Avraham David Rabinowitz Tumim. And he, who was 30 years younger than Rav Shalant, set sail and came to Yerushalayim as the designated successor to Rav Hazara. Unless it was made wet after it was removed from the tree or wherever it is growing. If it never became wet, not mekabel. As you know, today we are all tamei. And of course, we behave that way. For example, when we separate challah, when we bake cake, we treat that challah, that dough that's separated, as challah, tamei challah, and we burn it. Here, there's an important tara. If one were to take flour and mix it with fruit juice, not with water, it would become wet, but not with one of those mashkes, one of those liquids, which is not shel mekabel tamei. Fruit juice or eggs are not mashkes mekabel tamei. If one were to mix flour with eggs to make an egg kibble, or mix flour with fruit juice to make a bun, that dough is now not mashkes mekabel tamei. When you separate challah from that dough, that challah is challah tahira. It's challah which is not tamei. It is prohibited. It is offered to burn it. It has to be given to a kohen tahor. Try to find one. Has to be given to a kohen tahor. Now, fortunately, all of our flour today is mashkes mekabel tamei, because when the chaff is separated from the seed, that is done through water. Typically today, the wheat is thrown into water, churned about, and the chaff floats to the top and the seeds to the bottom. Our flour is also bleached, so it's made wet. However, there are people who have organic or stone ground unbleached flour. Flour which never came into contact with water. They have to be aware that using such flour to make an egg yichel or a bun without using water creates a most unique problem. Here, when you separate the challah, it is challah tahira. You have to find a kohen tahor to give it to. The Shulchan Aruch actually suggests giving it to a katan. To a kohen katan lower than the age where his body would create certain types of tumah. The one who is tahor. In practical terms, this creates a problem. It's fascinating to think that the halachas of tumah and tahira could apply today because of this mysterious custom of keeping that night. We'll go on to the third part of the parasha. In the parasha, we have the commandments regarding the types of animals, fish, birds, grasshoppers that are kosher or non-kosher. What's interesting is that there's a myth just to say that the Rambam counts, which is to know the simanim, to know the signs of kosher or non-kosher creatures. And the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Machlokes, right? It's this asay lay the hastimonim amavilin. It's a mitzvah asay to know the stimonim that separate the behema of the chayav, the oiv, the togim, the chagavim. Shemot aloicha, the bein shemot aloicha. Shenemar, if alta ben a behema at meil at tahira, shenemar lahavdu ben a tome, ben a tar, ben a chayah, ben a chalas, ben a chayah, shemot aloicha, the last pasuk in the parasha. When you read it, you don't realize. The Rambam says it's actually a commandment, a mitzvah asay, la'avdil, to know how to make a distinction. Now, we all know, from elementary school and on, what the simanim of kosher animals, kosher fish, are, but the Rambam includes simanim chagov. As a matter of fact, if you look in the Inyan HaMitzvah HaKadzer, at the beginning of the Yad HaChazak of the Rambam, he counts a separate mitzvah asay, of memtes, of dun, of spanahamas, of spantes, separate mitzvahs to know the stamanim of each type. That means that it's a mitzvah to be able to recognize kosher grasshoppers as opposed to non-kosher grasshoppers. Not everyone's favorite food, but a mitzvah nevertheless. I would suggest that it should be. Take your idea, simen peyei. It's a short simen. You learn it in one sitting. Won't take you an hour, maybe half an hour, and learn the simanim chagavim. Learn the simanim of grasshoppers. I'd like to share with you one very specific idea, one point of knowledge regarding the simanim, the telltale signs of kosher grasshoppers. Before I do that, I'd like to point out that while we know that sardim eat grasshoppers, or at least permitted to, the Ashkenazim follow the Taz. The Taz, hey, Aleph says,
Tell you that.